name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Caitlin Snow. You know, the cold has never bothered me anyway.
And you have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show The Flash and Warm Hugs. With discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. Oh my gosh. Well, I tell you what, Thanksgiving week has come and gone. But I was thankful that we had this episode of The Flash to enjoy this week, while all of our other shows are on a temporary holiday hiatus. But yeah. I was very excited. How about you, Caitlin? Were you excited?
Oh, very excited. And, you know, I mean, you call it a holiday hiatus. It was really just shrinkage. You know, it was just so cold out there. It's just kind of shrunk our list of podcasts.
Is that how it is where you are? Is it cold to shrink?
Yeah, we're starting to get it cold, and it's gonna warm back up next week. So I don't know. The weather's just goofy right now.
It'll totally. It'll start to maybe look like the holidays around here. Right now, it still looks like end of summer. But anyway, you know what? That's a very smart comment that you said there, and I know that. Jay is a very smart man, so I'm just gonna call you Jay for the rest of the show to clear it up, make sure everybody knows how smart you are.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh, I try. Well, I tell you, this episode directed by Kevin Smith, as we've been saying all season, it shocked and surprised me that we will discuss that. And it was much different than his first episode last season that he directed. It had a little more action in it, which I was pleasantly surprised to see, but it also had that sense of emotion too. So I'm looking forward to breaking them down, all the nuances from you as I sit here in what do you call it? A turkey coma? What is it? Tryptophan?
Tryptophan?
Yeah. Is that, that's still coursing through my veins as I've eaten turkey now many times, but,
There's a lot of that going around, I hear.
So. It's one of my favorite food holidays, I'm telling you. It's a good one.
Well, I thought this was a good episode with a lot of heart, but I also thought there were some really good elements of humor in it. And like you mentioned, the action as well, which seemed woefully missing in the previous Kevin Smith episode from last season, The Runaway Dinosaurs.
Runaway Dinosaur, right. Yeah. It was more exposition and character development, and this one had that. Plus the action. So, well, I tell you, why don't you tell us about this episode first so everybody knows which one we're talking about, and then we'll start breaking it down.
All right. So this is the seventh episode of season three, Killer Frost. The leaked title was appropriate. So congratulations on all the people that figured it out from Kevin Smith's tweeted page from the script, like 3-4 months ago. Originally aired on November 22nd, 2016. The story was by Judalina Neera, with teleplay by Andrew Kreisberg and Brooke Roberts, and of course, as you mentioned, directed by Kevin Smith. She's as cold as ice. She's willing to sacrifice her friends. She never takes advice, but someday she'll pay the price, or be a pawn of Savitar or a supervillain or something.
That was good. I felt like I was in like an 80s poetry reading there.
It kind of fell apart there at the end, I think.
But. Yeah, yeah.
Well, after an epic butt-whooping by Savitar, Barry is saved by Sisko and Caitlin, who use their powers in conjunction to get rid of Savitar. But freezing the bad guy took its toll and seems to have pushed Caitlin over the Killer Frost edge. In an effort to find alchemy to get rid of her powers, so not to get the powers, but to get rid of them, she tortures a captured acolyte, kidnaps Julian, and stabs Barry in the leg with an icicle. Luckily, Sisko knocks her out for the count, but not until after she's revealed the flashpointy truth about Sisko's brother. Now that the team's relationship pressures are stretched tighter than a tube sock on Gorilla Grodd, everyone is on edge. This pushes Joe to open Wally's cocoon a little too soon. Luckily, they're able to find him and slow him down just a little bit. But unfortunately, all the damage has been done, and Julian can identify Caitlin to the police. Barry talks to him and tries to explain, and even seems to be getting through to him, except on one condition. Barry must quit his job and stop being a CSI. Julian's sense of ethics can't justify all of the questionable things that Barry seems to be doing. See, Julian may be grumpy, but he's a good, law-abiding citizen who just wants to do what's right. And, oh, yeah, and then he's alchemy also.
No. Well, there's that.
Whoops.
We can't be perfect. We can't all, you know.
Interesting reveal there at the end. They still don't have me convinced about that.
They don't have you convinced?
They don't have me entirely convinced about that. There's I just have a question about it. I guess I'm there. They just don't, you know, something's going on. I don't know. I'll tell you my thoughts when we get to that.
Okay.
But
yeah, we'll get to that.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give this at the top of the show a thumbs up and say that I really enjoyed this episode much more than last week's episode. As I said last week, I was entertained. Mm-hmm. It was just a little bit off for me, but I feel like Kevin Smith really kind of got him back on track here. And also, I kind of feel like a lot of the, I guess, loose ends that we've had all season, mm-hmm. some of the things that have been kind of dangling out there that don't seem to be addressed, they all kind of came together in this one, including a lot of the secrets that Barry's had and emotions that people had potentially ready to come out at, like Cisco's. So one of the things that was discussed by Joe, I thought it was kind of interesting to look at all the characters when he was discussing with HR about his instinct. You know, Joe mentioned this a bunch in the episode when he was just distraught about Wally being stuck in the cocoon. Yeah. And he didn't know, he just didn't know what to do.
Joe mentioned a lot of things in this episode.
he was feeling, it's weird because you forget that Joe is not a member of the team that's, I don't want to say intelligent, because I think Joe's a very intelligent
man.
He's
just not technical.
He's not scientifically educated, right? He's got a lot of street smarts and a lot of obviously he's not even a grunt. I mean, he's a very wise guy. He gives a lot of good advice, fatherly mm-hmm. advice and police advice. But you forget sometimes because he's so involved in everything that some of this stuff is just over his head. And
I may not be a smart man, but I know what love is.
Well, I like that he expressed that in this, you know, and mm-hmm. his feeling of helplessness and his frustration about not being able to do anything, he really came straight out to everybody and said, look, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to go do something. And maybe people should listen to me every once in a while, you know. But
yeah. Well, see, he postulated a lot of different things, you know, and talked about how, you know, he had two things that he worked with, you know, because he, like you said, he's not as technical and stuff like that. And the two things were his detective skills and his instinct. And I feel like they both really failed him this episode. I mean,
well, that's what I want. Let's talk about Joe first, because I think there were a few people that were kind of going with their gut. And that's what he kept saying he wanted to do. So he said, you know, his gut's telling him he needs to do something.
Yeah.
So he goes out there and starts torturing the acolyte. He three stooged the acolyte.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, Mo.
I wanted that acolyte, after he let go of his nose, I wanted the acolyte to just like slap himself on the forehead and go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But
nice guy, eh? Yeah.
Is that... did it fail him in this? I mean, we saw him caught Wally out of the cocoon, right?
Yeah,
it seemed to be
a
bit early, but
yeah.
By the end of the episode, everything seems to be okay.
Seemed to be, but against everybody's, you know, I mean, they're talking about, oh, he could be Wally Soup in there. You know, it's, I don't know. his instincts are for a good reason. You know, his gut was telling him to do stuff for a good reason because he loves his kids. He loves Iris and he loves Wally and he loves Barry. And, you know, I think many of us would, you know, in a similar situation would feel the same way. You know, we would do almost anything for the people that we love, but there's that part where, you know, your heart can only take you so far and you have to listen to your head. And if his head just doesn't know enough, he needs to be listening to the collective, you know, around him that he, as he admits are smarter than him. And, you know, I just, we talk about, and we've talked about on the show how some of the characters, you know, are just stupid sometimes. And Joe is one of those guys that, I do see it as being stupid only because he's going with his instincts so much. And a lot of the time that's helpful. I think it was, you know, a good idea last week where he's like, well, if we're going after my son, you know, I'm going to do everything I can in my power, and everything in his power is to gather the SWAT team with him. Okay. That's a good plan, right? That's within his wheelhouse and he can, you know, work with that. But a lot of the times he's just in over his head and it's, you know, it's like putting a monkey on a typewriter and expecting him to, you know, create some great piece of literature. Like he might get lucky at some point, but a lot of times it's just a lot of thrashing around.
Otherwise it's, you know, a 50 Shades of Grey novel, right? It's a,
So let me ask you this. Is going with your gut the opposite of thinking scientifically, you know, using the scientific method? Is it the opposite of that, or is it just a different way of looking at something?
Wow, that's a really good question, because I have a science background, so I feel like I look at things logically a lot of the time, you know, to make informed choices. It kind of is the opposite, but it doesn't mean that it's wrong. What I see is that, for example, you know, I'll need to do research on stuff before I can pull the trigger to hire a contractor or something like that, right? So, you know, there's a lot of things you need to do. Well, I want to check them out. You know, are they a Better Business Bureau member, you know, have, you know, you want to look up all these things. You want to look up reviews online and stuff like that. And that just takes a while. And sometimes it doesn't really matter. I'm having someone, you know, going to cut my hedges. Do I really need to see the reviews on them? No, I can probably just, you know, look at the people that I've, you know, got available to me and make a choice. You know, sometimes going through all of that, intellectual aspect is actually, you know, could be counterproductive. And a lot of times, you know, he's making a decision that you might end up coming to. But I guess it's kind of what we're looking at as the, what I'm describing as an intellectual, you know, thought out, planned pursuit versus a spur of the moment, you know, sort of just decision off the cuff, I guess.
Right. You know what? But as I listened to you talk through that, it started to become a little more clear to me, this whole idea. And I think it's connected, and I think this is actually what they were going for here. It's connected to something else that Barry said when he was talking to Julian, you know, when he was talking about the metas, is how he likes to see these things as a black and white, you know, kind of good, bad sort of thing, when there's shades
binary.
Of gray.
Yeah, he said binary.
That's right.
Yep.
So you know, when maybe my question wasn't even fair, because I think we have a tendency to do that in our culture a lot. Look at things as the opposite of each other, or look at things as good, bad, right, wrong. And I like your examples there. Another example I was thinking of as you were talking is teaching a kid how to swing on a swing by themselves. Right? You could figure out all of the mathematical equations to the angles versus the weight and the momentum and all that. but ultimately, really what it comes down to is the kid learning where that feeling is that you got to kick your legs forward, where that feeling is as you're at the top of the peak and you kick your legs back to build your momentum, you know? It's a feeling. It's a gut feeling. You can figure it out scientifically, but you can also figure it out based on your instincts and what you know. So, so I love that. I love that you kind of worked that out for me. And it's not just a one way or the other. Barry kind of has a similar conflict going on in his head, I think. He is very scientific. He does know a lot of that stuff. He does think through things. But often we see him thinking with his gut and just acting on not irrational, impulsive instinct, right?
Where it's, Bart Allen. Where he
he
acts on impulse.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder if he's coming soon.
No, but you're right. That's what got him into this. That's what got him into season three in the first place, right? Iris, I love you. We're going to kiss. Ah, screw this. I'm going to go save my mom. You know, I mean, and he makes the connection in this episode. If I had just stayed on the porch and gone inside, we wouldn't be here right now with all of this stuff. And it's very problematic for him because he knows it wasn't necessarily the right thing to do, but you know, it felt right at the time. It felt good to do that. But of course there are consequences to going with that. Now there could have been consequences to sticking with the intellectual aspect of it as well. But, you know, when there are people that lead with their brains and there are people that lead with their emotions and stuff like that. And, you know, everybody's got strengths and weaknesses. And I think everybody wants to think that the other side is better, you know, when it's just different.
Yeah. Well, Iris kind of gave him a little lecture about that. Things are the way they are. We can't do anything about it. This isn't what she was saying, but this is kind of where she was going, right?
Yeah,
the decisions that Barry has made, he's made them. They're done. Right or wrong, whether he should have done them or not should have done them, but shouldn't have done them. They like that sentence. They're finished, and we're on the path because of those decisions.
But he can go back in time and change it, Josh. That's so cool.
That's true. He could. He could. And I think that is an option there. But knowing what he knows now about that, would it make it better or just change it? Or could it make it even worse? I mean, he really screwed things up that last time.
Yeah.
Would it be even worse next time?
And that's and that's the unknown. I mean, he's got no way to know until he does it. And, you know, it's not just like writing something on a piece of paper and erasing it and you kind of go back to, you know, where you were before.
No.
You know, there's always still a little something there, right?
And that's right. That's right. And he remembers everything the way it was, you know, and he knows what he's changed and the consequences that he's had. But like you said, he can still kind of see it. So I love that she kind of laid it out for him that his superpower is hope, right? And, you know, that's kind of more of an abstract way of thinking about it. Cause I think his superpower, he can like run really fast, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I've been watching this for 3 years now.
I think it was HR that was pointing that out to Joe in the car.
Oh, was that who said it? Okay.
So I mean, Iris had a similar line, but HR was trying to convince Joe that
that's right.
You know, Barry was doing the right thing. And, you know, because he had, boundless amounts of hope that he thinks everything's going to work out. And Joe's like, yeah, well, this still ain't going to work out. Okay. I mean, Joe was being, you know, super sourpuss there. So,
yeah, and what I was thinking about the connection with Iris is when she had that little conversation with him, she was kind of replenishing his hope, right? He was getting really down on himself and she was explaining to him that, you know, it's, this is the way it is. So, and you're human. That's just how it goes. And who's to say that Cisco's brother wouldn't have died? Who's to say that Caitlin wouldn't have got powers? Who's to say that all that stuff wouldn't have happened anyway? And that's going to be something that some of the characters are going to have to come to terms with, especially Cisco. So anyway, that was a deep thoughts for just those little lines that Joe was saying about, you know, what does your gut tell you? But I just thought it was kind of interesting. you know, and looking at like Caitlin, she kind of, I think she was kind of going with her gut too, but it was almost like her gut was more in control than her head. These powers are causing her to not think through things rationally.
Yeah. I was unclear on whether the powers were, you know, affecting her mind or something, or whether she was just, out of control. I mean, you know, almost like some sort of attack or something like that, just because she couldn't, she was as rational as she is in any other circumstance. I mean, she was like, oh, I've got these powers and I'm totally gonna, you know, now I'm just, I guess I'm just supposed to be a badass. And, you know, it was, it's like, you know, something happens to somebody, like, you know, I don't know, you buy a BMW. And so that means you have to act a certain way. And it's like, no, you can totally use your turn signals. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to change the way that you drive. You know,
that's a good example too. You're full of good metaphors tonight. I like it. That's it.
I just draw from my life, Josh. I just felt that I don't want to say it was out of character for her, because, you know, it's something that she's been afraid of for a while, but I feel like, you know, she really wanted the powers to be an excuse for behaving this way, potentially. You know, I'm sure there are those people that you've had in your life where, you know, something happens to them and then they really just want to use that
moment, I see what you're
saying. You know, as the blame, so that they can behave the, you know, because they don't want to have to, it takes a lot of effort to try to, yeah, you know, to behave certain ways. And it's like, you know, your cat passes away, so that gives me an excuse to be a jerk, because it's like, hey, you know, my cat passed away and your cat didn't pass away. You don't know how I feel. And, you know, go through all these kind of, you know, bad behaviors and stuff like that. And that's what I'm trying to rationalize the way she was behaving. I don't feel like they did a good job of explaining that, because as soon as Barry forced her to make a choice, right up to that point, it was like everybody was just kind of going with her. It's like, please don't. And so, you know, they were fighting her, and that just made her more adamant about her decision, it seemed like. And so when Barry finally just gave into it and said, listen, you're going to have to kill me, which I thought was a really strong scene, though I felt like the end is like, you know, she snaps right out of it and then, oh, big hug. And it was, you know, it was just that really quick transition, which I feel like they move through stuff a little fast sometimes on the show, no pun intended. And I would have liked to just have dwelled on that a little bit longer, because I think there was, I think Kevin Smith, especially on this episode, could have pulled some more emotion from that transition. And I know, you know, they're always tight on time and stuff like that, so I'm assuming that has something to do with it. But
yeah, they had to make a decision what they were going to spend more time on, probably. But I see what you're saying. That definitely happened kind of fast. I think you said it was out of character for her, which in my head, as I was watching it, the way I explained it to myself, I think it was her powers affecting her a little bit. I think there was a lot of emotions going on there. So she was already kind of on the edge, you know, of how she felt about these things. But I think the powers kind of pushed it over to begin with. A few little pieces of evidence that I used to rationalize that in my head. Number one, and kind of distant, but would be Earth 2 Caitlin, and how just, you know, not, I don't want to say evil. I don't think she was evil, but just angry.
Bitter.
Bitter she was, you know, and Caitlin saw that, worried about it. Also, at the end, when Barry's talking to Julian, he says, you know, that she's sick. And I think he kind of recognized that that was out of her character. And so I think he was trying to use almost like shock treatment to get her to see what she was doing. You know, I don't know if you've ever had, hopefully not, but if you've ever had an experience where, you know, you were just so angry you, whatever happened, you know, whatever the circumstance where you were so angry, you just were not thinking clearly, and there was somebody in your life that kind of talked you down from it, you know, that kind of that just said, hey, come on now, come on. You know, they sort of talked you off the ledge, so to speak.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what he was doing in that scene. He was really shocking her back into going, you know, what are you doing here? Are you kidding me? This is not you.
Right.
So that's why I think it had to do with the powers more than, say, her just losing control.
Well, and we know that, I mean, you know, in the real world, chemical imbalances in people can really affect their mood, their personality, things like that. So, like you said, with the way her, that it may be her powers affecting the way she was acting, I would not discount that. You know, there's definitely a lot of weird stuff going on in her body to, you know, give her the powers and everything like that. So,
yeah.
And by the end of the episode, she was wearing those bands again, from last week. So, you know, she's seeking help. But I can imagine this will be in kind of an ongoing, an ongoing storyline for the rest of the season as she decides, does she really want them? Can she cope with them? Does she not want them? Things like that.
Yeah, I don't think they're done with this entirely. And some of it was because of what that one acolyte told her about Savitar, that he has plans for her and that he wants her to have these powers. So I would assume he wants her to have the powers and not be a little goody goody and a hero. I think he would want the powers and want her to be nice and angry and gothy and like she was in this episode. So, any idea what you think the plans for her are?
No, I'm still kind of at a loss. You know, thinking we had been thinking that alchemy was the one kind of pulling the strings and one of us made a point last week that maybe alchemy was actually one of the acolytes for Savitar, which is what it seems like is the case. Though I'm probably a little less clear on the whole thing after this episode because I don't know if it was just some of the editing, but I felt like, alchemy was there and then he wasn't. And like if Julian is alchemy, then like he had gone away, but now he's trying to come back. I don't know. We can talk about that a little bit more, but
yeah.
You've got all these husks. Alchemy is trying to remake the characters from Flashpoint. The heroes as well as the villains. And you know, if Savitar is, if Savitar is true to kind of the comic version of him, you know, maybe he's trying to steal powers from people, but he really only takes the Speed Force from people. So I don't know, other than, you know, kind of trying to build a metahuman army of some kind to, what, I don't know, you know, take over the world, take over the multiverse. I don't know. I'm not there's a lot of stuff going on right now.
A lot of questions about the motivation behind the Savitar. You brought up Julian. They have that nice little interaction in the hospital there when Julian calls Barry out on a lot of his behaviors and makes him quit. So I had a discussion on Thanksgiving with my brother about this.
Okay.
And my question to you after talking with him, is Julian right about Barry? Should Barry be a CSI?
So as I'm watching the episode, basically I was waiting for Barry to tell Julian, you know what? I'm really the Flash, so you're just full of crap. Because everything that Julian was saying to Barry, you don't care enough, you're sloppy, you don't pay attention to things, all that kind of stuff. He's read him completely. Well, he's read Barry Allen correctly because that's what Barry presents, but that's not who Barry is. Barry actually, you know, cares about cares more about people than Julian knows and all this kind of stuff. And, I do not think he was correct about him. But I believe that in order to protect his secret identity, which for once Barry hasn't just gone and said, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm the Flash, which he seems to do a lot, an awful lot. He decided to, you know, have the Barry Allen character, you know, take the hit. Very much like the way Superman uses Clark Kent. You know, it's like everyone can think Clark Kent is a nerd and a dweeb and a klutz and all this kind of stuff. And it's okay. That character is designed to take the hit to protect his secret identity. Now, Barry is usually a little more outgoing than that. So this is a an interesting step for him in that the fact that he's giving up – well, he's giving up his access, though he's not really because Joe is still – you know, with the SCP or with the CCPD, so you know they can get information, and of course they've got all the monitor equipment at Star Labs. But I don't know what Barry's going to do with himself now that he's quit.
Full time Flash, I guess.
I guess he. I mean, I feel like he needed that just to. Well, he had needed it early on as you know, to help figure out who had killed his mom and stuff. But yeah, I mean, other than, you know, being able to be on the scene of these incidents as they occurred, I guess it didn't really benefit him too much because, you know, it's just a day job that, you know, really got in the way of him doing everything else. And
yeah, I think he had some inside information about cases that he might be working on too. So, but my discussion with my brother was that Barry does take the law into his own hands. I mean, they'll hold people, which is, you know, against the law. They look at what Caitlin did. I mean, Caitlin threatened a police officer, destruction. She went in and seemingly tortured a witness. I mean, she broke a lot of laws there. And Barry's like, hey, let's just not turn her in, you know. And that was just in this episode. In the last 3 years, he's broken all kinds of laws. So
yeah.
I don't. So that was my brother's argument. Right? Mm. He really. Maybe not ethical enough to be a police officer. My sort of defense against that, and I didn't entirely disagree with him, but my defense is the laws and rules that are established were made for a world that doesn't really exist anymore. You know, it's a completely different world with different circumstances in it that those rules and laws don't necessarily fit all the time. So
with the metahumans, you mean?
Yeah, with the metahumans, yeah, and the situations that come about because of that. So I didn't really have a good defense against it. It was just something I was thinking as a way to justify some of the things that Barry does. But I don't know. I don't know that Julian's completely off in his evaluation. Now I am wondering if he already knows that Barry is the Flash.
I was wondering that myself. Because,
Savitar seems to know a lot about the Flash and about, you know, Wally and he seems to have a lot of inside information. So I'm wondering how much Julian would know.
Right. And we know that Thawne knew, like, or at least appeared to know what was coming this season as he, from the season premiere. Where he, you know, got Flash to bring him back, and you know, and Barry was like, "What's coming?" And he's like, "Oh, you'll see." I'm wondering who's working with who and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, let me ask about. I want to get to Savitar here in a second, but let me ask you one more thing about Julian. Now, okay. I mentioned that I'm not entirely convinced that he's Alchemy. Seems pretty obvious, but like you said, some of the timing was off. He was in the hospital. He heard the voice of Savitar. He's, not wanting to go with him. He's trying to escape.
Telling him to come back or something like that, I think, as well.
Yeah, something like that. But then he opens his drawer. He takes out the alchemy mask. And the Savitar voice says, "Become alchemy."
Yeah.
Which could absolutely mean, I want you to put the mask on, you're going to help me out, and you're going to do this again for me. Or it can mean, I want you to be alchemy now. Or it could mean, you know, you haven't been alchemy. I don't know. There's a lot of different meanings. It was just, I thought it was interesting that it wasn't straightforward and clear that said, you are alchemy, so put this back on and let's go cause some mischief.
Well, I don't remember them capturing alchemy. And but nope. Also, my wife was really concerned that Julian would, you know, if he has been alchemy, it's pretty stupid for him to keep his change of clothes at his office, where Barry could have found it at any point, unless that's the point. I just don't know what to make of all that. It's just very weird.
It still seems like it might be a red herring. You know, it's...
I know. It's Quentin Lance from Arrow.
Maybe. We found that out the very week after, so maybe yeah. We'll find out next week. But, yeah, so I'm not sure. I right now, I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards it. He is alchemy, but I am not 100% convinced based on what we've seen. But
I feel that's the... It's the so obvious choice, you know, and even they've told us, and I still don't want to believe it because I feel like they're trying to make these pieces fit. And I'm like, there's a piece missing or it just doesn't fit right.
Right.
Maybe it'll be one of those things like, you know, on S.H.I.E.L.D. where I denied that something was happening, I don't know, for like 3 or 4 episodes. And then we kind of looked back and was like, no, I'm pretty sure that's what happened, and that's what's where this is going. So maybe by the time winter break comes here, I'll be just like, well, no, I guess that's what they're doing. So
yeah, well, it also seemed a little obvious that Julian has had interactions with Savitar before, though. So whether or not he's alchemy, it did seem like he was had heard these voices or had, you know, had some dealings with Savitar. Savitar wanted something from him. And I'm still, you know, we're obviously don't know much about Julian's background. One thing that stood out to me, though, was when he was captured by Caitlin and Barry was in there and Julian was saying, take her out. Come on. She's going to get her. She's going to kill me. And Barry reached back and, you know, punched him, knocked him out.
Yeah. That's great.
Overall, no big deal.
Right.
Excuse me. That scene, you know, it seemed pretty straightforward. But then later on, Barry said, I didn't mean to knock him out. Almost implying like he didn't really hit him hard enough to knock a normal person out. So I'm wondering if there's something else going on here with Julian. Also, you know, he had the injuries. He had a concussion, which was obviously, you know, punch. He had frostbite. Maybe there's something going on with him or his body that is causing some problems. Maybe one thing that kind of popped in my head was Samuel L. Jackson from Unbreakable.
I was going to say, yeah.
Like one of those characters that is easily hurt. And so maybe he was looking for a solution from alchemy, or maybe alchemy offered him powers that he had in Flashpoint that would help that, you know? So these are things that kind of popped in my head because of lines like that.
What I was thinking was that based on, you know, because Barry said, I didn't hit him that hard. And then later I think he amended that and he's kind of like, well, maybe I did. Because, you know, he really hates this guy. And I think he didn't mean to hit him that hard, but I think he really did hit him that hard. I mean, if you look at him go down, I mean, it was that was a pretty, you know, it was fast, but it looked like it was a pretty solid punch there on the jaw.
Super powered punch. Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, and it's possible. It was just one of those things that stood out to me. You know, I mean,
I see that. Yeah.
The same way that early in the episode when I shouldn't call her Killer Frost yet, at least not at that point, when Caitlin stopped Savitar from, you know, whooping up on Barry there, he and Sisko asked if he was okay. He said, I'm okay, just cold. And I know that seems like another throwaway line, but to me it stood out like as a setup for this whole episode. Yeah, I'm okay. But there's other stuff going on here, like this secret he has from Sisko, like this problem Joe has with not knowing what to do, like Caitlin being desperate. It's like, I'm okay right now, but there's some stuff deep down that I'm dealing with. I'm probably reading way too much into that, but there was just these little lines in this episode that I think Kevin Smith threw in there to connect things.
Yeah, possibly. And of course, you know, on the surface it was because he was very close to the freeze blast from Caitlin. Right. So that's the easy explanation for that. But I mean, I don't discount that what you're reading into it is inaccurate. I mean, I think those are all really, really interesting things. Earlier you were mentioning Julian was hearing Savitar's voice, you know, and that he may have heard it before. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you about this. So we've been assuming, I've been assuming that the voice that people have been hearing, that Frankie had been hearing, that Wally had heard, that the rival had heard, I thought those were Alchemy's voices. But now Savitar is talking to Julian or Alchemy here. Have we been misrepresenting this? Or, you know, has that been Savitar talking to people this entire time?
It did seem like the same voice, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, I don't know. So if that's the case, what is the purpose of Alchemy? What is maybe Alchemy, the only purpose that he really has for Savitar is that he is able to give these people their powers back.
Right. He uses that the rock to convert people from their current state to their optimal state. Yeah.
He's like Dwayne Johnson come in and just beat them until they turn into superpowers. Oh, not that rock. You're talking
not
about
that rock.
The little sorcerer's stone thing.
Yeah, the philosopher's stone thing.
Yeah, I got you.
Which again, if he is Alchemy and he's using the philosopher's stone, you know, that's really spot on the nose for, you know, using the actor from the Harry Potter films too.
Yeah, that's true. We mentioned that, so it could be.
Yeah.
Well, let me talk a little bit about Savitar as we kind of wrap things up here. But you asked if it's his voice we're hearing. I don't know. I assumed that Alchemy was contacting people, you know, through their minds or whatever, mm-hmm. for Savitar. But maybe that's not even within his power.
Right.
I'd have to go back and listen to some of the earlier episodes though, to see if, cause I thought he said like, come to me or come to Alchemy. I don't know. I'm not going to go back and check it out.
Okay.
But at the beginning, now you mentioned something to me after you watched this episode. After the beginning, when Savitar's captured Barry, he said, let's go for a run. And he's popping up all over the city.
Yeah.
It's very obvious that Savitar is very fast. I mean, that was pretty clear.
That's implied. Yeah. Yeah.
But then Sisko says he's just popping all over town, like just appearing here and there. There's no way he could go that fast, he said.
Right, right. And so I thought back to one of the comments you made last week about how Savitar mentioned he was the god of speed. And, you know, you went through the whole history of the Hindu god of motion and stuff like that. But you also mentioned, well, hey, maybe he's like a new god, like from, what is it?
Apocalypse?
Apocalypse or New Genesis. And I thought that was an interesting idea, though. I didn't know how they were going to do like new gods. I mean, because that's a pretty big leap even for the Flash to do. But I think we saw the boom tubes this week. I mean, when Savitar and Barry were transporting, when they were running between these locations, quote unquote, they were in a tube, a tunnel. That, you know, it looked like a hyperspace wormhole kind of thing. And they were, as Sisko said, they were popping up immediately all over town. And that is, by definition, what a boom tube does. It's a piece of apocalyptic technology that the new gods use to basically instantly teleport themselves across vast distances of space and stuff like that. So
almost like what Sisko did to take him and Killer Frost.
Very similar to that, yeah. Yeah, and you know, there's elements of that, they're going to be popping up, I think, in the DC film universe. There might have been something like that in Batman versus Superman, but, you know, probably Justice League and things like that. So, but I also thought that Savitar looked a little strange. A number of people, both in person to me and on our through email or on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, have mentioned how much Savitar looks like Megatron from the new Transformers films.
Yes.
You know, or, you know, some character from the Transformers films, which I agree with. And there's a part where he opened his mouth to scream at Barry, and it's not like it looked, I mean, you really couldn't see like a throat. It was just weird things inside, you know, objects and shapes and stuff. And I got to thinking, I mean, he looks really robotic to begin with and, you know, very non-organic. Though I can't really see, you know, a character that is a construct being as fast as that. But, you know, if there is, if it's, you know, I'm wondering if it's almost kind of like a Wizard of Oz kind of thing, like, at least I was at the beginning of the episode, you know, that Alchemy was really in control, but he put Savitar out there as some kind of person that he, you know, is bigger than him, you know, like the, like Oz did with the face and stuff like that and the Wizard of Oz. Mm. But then by the end, when he was hearing the voices and telling Julian and stuff, and like, I don't know.
Well, I think there's some clues that they've put out that we haven't connected the dots to yet that would give us some indication of who this is. One of them I think we saw this week is that he was invisible to everybody but Barry.
Yes.
Now, it didn't seem as if now, go ahead.
I was going to say, didn't he show up when Caitlin froze him, or were we just kind of seeing the husk of the ice on him?
That was one of my questions about that. So, first of all, I'm not sure why he would be invisible. It doesn't seem to be like a thing that he's just moving so fast that nobody can see him. Because there was, you know, he's holding Barry up in midair, and it didn't seem like he was vibrating or anything like that.
True.
And why would he? You know. But
yeah.
Now you mentioned the ice thing. I'm not entirely sure if that was the ice or him, but it did seem as if the cold was really a bad deal for him.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that might be another clue that he can't stand the cold for some reason. You know what I mean? And the fact that he's a robot or something, I think all those clues, once I figured out what all those mean together, I think it'll give us an idea of who he is.
Yeah, I feel like it's, you know, there's something right there, but I'm just not able to put all the parts together right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, we found out a little bit more about the name Savitar. We talked about this last week on the show, and then it seemed like HR was listening to our show last week. So he shared with everybody that Savitar is the Hindu god of speed. I had to go back and listen to that. He talks so fast. He's drinking too much coffee. I sometimes have to have the subtitles on for,
he does. He goes through everything quite, speedily.
It's funny, on Thanksgiving, I walked into my parents' house. They were watching an old episode of what I think it's called Blue Bloods or something with Tom Selleck.
And, oh, yeah, Blue Bloods.
Tom Cavanaugh was on that episode that I was watching. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, HR's everywhere. Let's see. Now I don't remember what I was talking about. So I talking about?
History of Savitar.
History of Savitar, the Hindu god. Yeah. He said that he was a god. And then Iris had that line as she was talking to Barry that you are not a god. Or she said straight out to him, you're not God, Barry.
Ah, yeah.
So I like that distinction, that comparison between the two of them. She said he's human, he makes mistakes, he and so that comparison to him and Savitar believes himself to be a god, doesn't think he makes mistakes. And so, again, more clues that I haven't put together yet.
A lot of stuff
to get through. He's got these acolytes. I still don't know that. That's another clue there. But that all points to the kind of the comic book history of Savitar. What's with all the hipster beards on the acolytes? Everyone we've seen, even Julian.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of got the facial hair.
And then there's that one acolyte, Craig, whose wife said, oh, it's so chilly in here. And so he goes to check the thermostat. I mean, seriously, dude, who sets your thermostat to 85 degrees? Really?
Ooh, especially at night.
Yeah. I mean, he's like a snake or something.
But I, you know what? So. Somebody else mentioned this to us too. And I thought, well, I wonder, because Savitar reacted so strongly when Caitlin froze him, you know, he didn't just break out and keep beating up on Barry. He left. He escaped. Maybe that has something to do with it as well. I don't. That could just be. I'm really looking deep into things that may mean nothing. But it really. I mean, after thinking about that and thinking about the ice, I thought, maybe it does have something to do with it.
I don't know, man.
So one other thing I want to mention, we have a really cool piece of feedback that I wanted to kind of get through because there were a lot of good points. That some of them we talked about, but
Hang on. Before you get to the feedback, I just also wanted to point out, because you were talking about the way stuff is connected on the show. Uh-huh. When Barry leaves his job as a CSI, there was a lightning and thunderstorm that was very – and I feel like the shots were reminiscent of the – premiere episode or his premiere in Arrow, actually, when he, you know, received his powers. So it was an interesting, you know, little commentary, and I feel it was totally on purpose that there was these, you know, lightning and thunder and stuff as he was leaving.
Oh, he even walked by the shelf of all the chemicals.
Right, and right. And it was the low angle shots and stuff. Yeah. So you could see the big shelf of all the chemicals and everything like that. So, I'm wondering, you know, now that I've said stuff about like Wizard of Oz and things like that, I'm wondering, is Barry actually living this life right now? I'm totally going out there, Josh. This whole portion of his existence here be a dream?
So starting from when?
From
like when would be the beginning of this dream? The whole three seasons?
No, like the Flashpoint elements.
Oh.
Like him coming back to this world because, you know, Thawne kind of forced him back to this. And Thawne seemed to know what was going on. I don't know. But we're doing a crossover next week where, I don't know, you know, I feel like that's probably not the case because they're... is going to be these interactions with the characters and stuff like that. And we know that Flashpoint changed. Yeah, we know Flashpoint changed Arrow as well. So,
well, I'm okay with something kind of wild and wacky like that, but I don't want him to throw the whole season away as a dream. You know, this isn't Dallas.
Right.
or the Bob Newhart show or something. That's interesting. I'm going to have to think on that. Let's get to a email that we got from Kenneth. Sure. A lot of great points in here. I'll kind of run through a lot of them here. We're running out short on time, but he kind of agrees with me, and my discussion was probably all over because of this reason. But there's so many interesting threads that tie to each other. That's why I kind of bounced all over. But he says, "What a frenetic episode!" So here's some thoughts he has. For a great cop, Joe can't seem to shoot straight, can he?
Nope.
When did he miss? Did Joe miss? Oh, he didn't. He didn't hit Alchemy, did he?
Right, and it was at the whole beginning. He was trying to shoot at Alchemy and at Savitar. Granted, though, he couldn't see Savitar.
But I was worried that he was going to hit Barry because he couldn't see Savitar, but
right,
didn't seem to. So something Barry said about how Savitar has more than just speed makes me wonder if this Savitar is a mashup of the comics Savitar and the Reverse Flash from the Wally West run of the Flash. The Reverse Flash could move through time, which made him seem to have greater than Flash speed. That could be an explanation for it.
I like the boom tube idea.
I do like the boom tube idea too, but it does seem different though than anything we've seen so far. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Why is Caitlin the only metahuman who undergoes a personality change after gaining powers? Is she bipolar, similar to Magenta, and her struggles with her powers are bringing it out? We kind of talked about that a little bit. I think it is. I think that's part of it. Did she get her powers from alchemy and is turning evil part of the bargain? And if so, how will this affect Wally? I don't think that she's getting powers through alchemy. I think it was something completely different that she probably would have gotten regardless of Flashpoint.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with that. I think that's probably the case because, well, no, they always they did manifest this season, I guess, to begin with. But yeah, I agree. I do think it's.
I remember though. There was another sort of particle accelerator incident when Wally and
Jesse
got their fight. Now, granted, Caitlin wasn't there. But that doesn't mean that it might not have affected her some way. So
yeah.
I don't think we'll ever find that out. But I don't think it has to do with alchemy. All right. She's happy to see Wally gain his powers, but I hope there's more to it than that. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense for Avatar and Alchemy to give him powers just so Wally can help Barry. I do agree with that. And I'm wondering, and we'll probably see this more, but I'm wondering if Wally's going to have differences in his speed powers than Barry. And that would be something that, you know, dates back even to the comics as well.
Yeah, he already is faster than Barry was at the same time.
Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if he's going to have limitations. Almost like, you know, there was a point where Wally had to eat constantly to maintain his speed. And I think they even did that in the John Wesley Ship Flash series. I think that was part of it for a while. Where
Yeah, he did have to eat a lot.
Yeah. So I wouldn't mind something like that, because that would make him different, a different kind of speedster. So, let's see. While I don't like to see Team Flash splinter, I'm glad to see the impact of Flashpoint didn't just fade away after a few episodes. Totally with you on that, Kenneth. I agree. It's making for a lot to talk about this season. He's not a big fan of HR. he thinks he's just a human prop, not much of comic relief either. He says it's time for him to go. I don't know if I want him to go, but I wouldn't mind them making him more important. He has had some really good ideas in the last couple weeks. Cisco doesn't want to admit it, but he really has come up with some pretty interesting thoughts. He's done exactly what he said he was going to do.
Right. It's just kind of the way he presents them, and I think he comes off as, you know,
obnoxious.
Pompous. Yeah,
pompous.
Obnoxious. Yeah.
All right, and the big reveal about Julian being a reluctant alchemy was predictable and anticlimactic, and it potentially cheapens Caitlin turning into Killer Frost and Barry quitting CCPD. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, I'm not convinced. It says Julian's death would allow Barry to return to CCPD and for Caitlin to not be worried about being charged with a crime. That is true. So he thinks that Julian might be dying here sometimes in the season. I don't think that's too far of a stretch. I think that we probably will see the end of Julian at some point.
So. This episode to me even more points out the fact that Iris is going to die soon.
I am with you.
They're telegraphing this so much, you know, because it's like, I love you. And you know, just they're so simpatico now. It's bad.
Yeah.
Something's going
to change with their relationship this season. I'm almost sure of it. So, Well, he says, looking forward to the crossover in the midseason finale and keep up the great work. So thank you, Kenneth. I appreciate the great thoughts on the email. So, we had a lot of references.
Awesome.
I want to kind of go through these quick, but I'm going to let you do a lot of these. You found most of them, and the first one is the best one. So
this is the best one. Kevin Smith. Yeah. Before the episode aired, posted on something, that he had of course he had put a frozen, joke into the episode because of dealing with Killer Frost. I mean,
from the movie Frozen, the Disney
from the movie Frozen, right? And so the warehouse that Caitlin captures Julian at, or takes him to, out in front of it is a truck with Chinese writing on it, and it's the Let It Go, manufacturer of frozen foods or something like that. And it's like, I asked my kids, I said, hey, did you guys see the Frozen reference? And they're like, no. And I show them the picture, the screenshot of this, and they're like, Let It Go? Oh my God. So
that was about the same reaction my kids had.
Yeah. They read it. And then it took about 2 seconds for it to like click and, them just to be upset about it. So, HR mentioned that him going with Joe would be like an all-star team-up, which All-Star Comics, it was as a DC book, and I think All-Star Team-Up was the name of one of the episodes at the beginning of last season as well. Might have been the first part of the crossover that they did last year as well.
I think that's actually next week, HR. All-Star team up.
Yeah. super big all-star team up next week. So I felt there was a reference to Terminator 2. Caitlin kind of is pointing at the Acolyte and makes her finger into has ice, make a pointy icicle on her finger, very much the same way the T-1000 turned his finger into a point to threaten somebody in Terminator 2. We had a kind of a Star Wars quote from the Acolyte to Caitlin in that scene where he says, I sense great fear in you, which I'm not sure. That also seemed really weird that he knew so much, like Savitar was sharing all this information, like, yeah, and then there's Caitlin and she's going to be blah, blah, blah. And so it seems like there's more to the Acolyte than meets the eye. So maybe he's a Transformer as well. In the pipeline, there was an intake 52 sign that was up. 52 obviously being a big number in the DC shows and in the DC universe. Now, to me, when Barry was egging Caitlin on to kill him, reminded me very much of the scene from the original Michael Keaton Batman movie where he's confronting the Joker. Basically, he's trying to get the Joker to shoot him. And he's like, you want to get crazy? Let's get crazy. And it was just, you know, he's going way over the top, like you said, to kind of point out to Caitlin that maybe she really didn't want to kill him. So, the for sale sign in front of Wally's original house. It was for sale by Dave Wood. And I said, that doesn't seem right. That seems too specific there. Dave Wood was actually a writer for DC Comics back in the 40s and 50s, and he was the creator of Mr. Freeze. So I thought that was a nice little shout out. And then Cisco said something to Caitlin about the fact that she turned all Mother of Dragons on him, which obviously I believe is a reference to Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I think he's talking about her hair.
Oh, might have been. Yeah, it was something like that. I don't watch Game of Thrones.
I do. So I was trying to see what he was talking about. So that's a totally opposite for Daenerys she's fireproof because of the dragons. But anyway,
got it.
Good references again on this. Kevin Smith is, of course, going to throw some in there. So again, I give this one a thumbs up. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm very excited about what's going to happen. But next week is the epic 4-show crossover that I've been looking forward to all season. And so we will see how everything plays out with Flash. In that, I guess that would be the second part, mm-hmm. the second episode part of the crossover,
of
right?
The four part, yeah. And I think
Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow,
right? And I think we'll probably talk a little bit about Supergirl, just what the lead in was, and then on our Arrow episode next week for Green Justice, I think we'll probably talk a little bit about how it all ends, and reference a little bit with Legends of Tomorrow then as well.
Right.
So
right.
You guys, excellent. Since we don't have podcasts for those other shows, we'll talk about them on the shows we do have.
All right. Well, man, thank you very much for getting through all that with me. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and now we'll work our way up to the winter break and see where the show takes us and gets us excited for next year. But for this week, you and I, we have to run.
Yeah, there's only two more episodes before they go on winter hiatus here. So then the crossover next week and then the first week of December, I guess. So, yeah, well, if you guys enjoyed the episode, and I hope you did, please be sure to leave us feedback on iTunes. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say there. You can also contact us if you'd prefer via email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com like Kenneth did. You can tweet to us at Scarlet Velocity or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
And you can also check out our other shows, Green Justice, An Arrow Podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. All of those are on randomchatter.com and, of course, in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Cold never bothered me anyway.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.